Welcome to the Fayetteville Fire Podcast, your source for all the safety, fire, and sometimes random information you never knew you wanted. I'm Captain Steve Shakeshaft, your host for the podcast, and I got the best job ever. Let's talk about it. Joining us today, our special guest, CBS 17 Chief Meteorologist Wes Hohenstein.
Thanks so much for having me. Well, right now it's not going great because it's been 1,000 degrees for about 1,000 days in a row, it feels like, right?
But we're on the downtrend.
Right.
Am I right? We're coming out of it?
We'll be complaining that it's too cold before you know it.
Oh, I won't. No, I don't know who will be, but I won't.
See, I'd rather sweat than freeze any day.
I grew up in the Poconos, so okay. I miss snow.
Well, snow, number one, is incredibly hard to forecast, so it makes my job tough. And the older I get, the less I like cold, so bring on the heat. Although I will complain about it like everyone else and my high electric bill.
I hear you, man. So, hey, I'm so glad that you were able to come down into Fayetteville for a day and spend some time with us. We're knee deep in hurricane season. Wanted to get to know you and maybe get a little bit of safety, some how things work with hurricanes and predicting them and all that stuff. But before we even jump into that, let's hear about you, man.
Well, so believe it or not, before I moved to North Carolina 20 years ago, I'd never stepped foot in the state. I grew up in the Midwest, St. Louis boy, St. Louis Cardinals fan, pretty average suburban life. But I knew that I wanted to do something with science in my life because I was really good at it. I was a science and math nerd. I kind of thought that was going to be the medical field. After a year in college, I realized very quickly, nope, that wasn't going to work. Didn't want to be in school for 8 to 12 years. So I pivoted to meteorology. I loved weather, but I also loved TV. I mean, I watched everything as a kid, not just cartoons, but I watched wrestling and the news and soap operas and late night TV. So I found this world where I could combine my love of science, math, and meteorology with television. And I've been a TV meteorologist ever since, almost 30 years, with stops in Lafayette, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas, and Salt Lake City, Utah. But the last 20 years here in Central North Carolina, and I love it. And as you and everyone listening knows, man, North Carolina weather keeps me employed.
Yeah. It's never dull.
For better or worse.
But fun story, kind of the exact opposite. I grew up wanting to be a broadcaster. I went to school for broadcast journalism, which required the core classes, and I realized I hated math and science. I could not stand math and science. I fell in love with the fire service as a volunteer, dropped out of college, became a fireman, and now here I am 20 years later as the public information officer for the fire department, getting to put both of my passions into play.
Well, so there's no one way to get into the broadcast industry. Yeah. I've worked with a lot of people, and everyone has a different path, so there's no right way. So I'm glad we're coming together here, yeah. And I'm glad we're doing it in a way where we're not really on camera, because I don't have to wear makeup, because that's part of the TV job. Every time I tell my story, and I'm like, oh, by the way, if you want to do this, whether you're a boy or a girl, kids, you're going to have to wear makeup. So happy we don't have to do hair and makeup today.
There you go. So on to the topic of the hour with hurricane season, or how far into it are we?
So it started June 1st.
Okay.
But, you know, in North Carolina and really for most of the Atlantic Ocean, the season doesn't really get started, as we all know, until August, September, or October. I mean, it starts June 1st, goes to November 30th, but think of all the bad storms that have hit us over the years.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them happened in September, so we're just now getting into the part of the year. I mean, 80% of the activity throughout the whole season happens in August, September, and early October.
When I think of hurricanes in comparison to other weather events, everyone says, well, you can't prepare for a tornado. You never know when it's coming. Hurricanes you can kind of prepare for, but sometimes you also can't. Sometimes they catch you by surprise. So how does predicting a hurricane coming even work? We've seen the spaghetti plots and the cones of uncertainty. How do y'all even know where it's going to go?
So first of all, I mean, we know the time of year that they're going to come. And most times we see a hurricane coming. And, you know, people always ask me, what's your favorite weather to predict? And it's hurricanes, because it's a big deal and it's a very important part of our lives, and a lot of people are paying attention, and we need to do our best work when hurricanes come. But we can also see them coming. You're right, like tornadoes. You know, we know that this tornado might form tomorrow.
Yeah.
We don't know when exactly or where exactly. I already told you my love-hate relationship with snow and winter weather. Severe storms, I mean, yellow pollen, whatever it is. Hurricanes we can see coming, and they're a big deal. Hurricanes need two things to form. They need ocean water that's 80 degrees. We only get that in the summer, August, September, October, right? And then we need some special things happening in the upper atmosphere. So I like forecasting hurricanes, and I don't like them because you think back in our history, some of our worst memories as people unfortunately revolve around bad weather events, and many of those bad weather events here in North Carolina are hurricanes.
Yeah, one of the things with being a firefighter a lot of people don't understand is our best day requires you having the worst day. So when I think of hurricanes, I actually do have fond memories. I hate that people might lose their homes or lose their vehicles or sometimes their lives, but we get to get out and save lives and change people's lives for the better in those circumstances. So while most people's worst memories are of massive storms, a lot of times our best memories of that being able to help.
Because you guys, just like I don't like 7 days of sunshine and 70 degrees as a meteorologist, you probably don't like sitting around twiddling your thumbs at the firehouse. You want some action, and unfortunately that means some people are having a bad day.
Yep. So we see it coming. How do we know where it's going to go? Just layman's terms, how do we get to this is where it's going to wind
up? So a couple things. We've got, you know, hundreds of years of history where we have learned about these storms. So we know generally what they're going to do. We know generally where they're going to form. We know generally what are the impacts going to be for us because we've had so many over the years. We've learned a lot. But when it comes time to actually predict this storm that's coming next week, you know, we rely a lot on the science and math of our atmosphere. And we get a lot of our information from computer models. For better or worse, that kind of gives us our first step in forecasting where a storm is going to go. So, you know, we've got these computer models and all these readings from all over the world that are continuously gathering data and then outputting potential forecasts. It happens hundreds of times a day, every day of the year, whether there's a hurricane or not. So that's how we get these spaghetti plots, these forecast models. You know, there are a handful of different models that we use throughout the day, and every day they pump out all this information. And we have to, as meteorologists, decide, okay, this is something I want to look at a little more. This solution, no way that's going to happen. Let's ignore that and focus on this. And then we use our experience and the past history, and, you know, we kind of combine it all to spit out what we think is going to happen. Obviously, the National Hurricane Center in Miami is our lead agency to help guide us all about what storms are going to do. And then, you know, me personally, I know that, oh boy, this storm is going to be a slow mover, and I know what that means for heavy rain and who is that going to impact. And so there's a lot that goes into it, but it starts with good experience and good historical records and good computer forecast models.
And one of the things that when we're looking at preparedness and people being ready for this storm coming is that cone of uncertainty is the center of the storm, right?
Right.
So if it goes far to the left of that cone, it's not just in that cone that's being impacted, and we try to spread that message that just because Carolina might not be in that highlighted area, we're still going to feel those impacts because that's the center, right?
Right. You're talking about the forecast cone that is issued by the National Hurricane Center. There are two maps that I produce all year long that are more popular than any other. Snow forecast map and the forecast cone for a hurricane. So the National Hurricane Center, 4 times a day when there is a potential tropical system impacting the United States or really anywhere in the world, they issue a forecast cone. It's their 5-day forecast of where they think the center of that storm, the eye of the storm, is going to be. Tropical storm, depression, hurricane. But remember, sometimes hurricanes are 600 miles wide. So if I'm going to tell you where a little point is going to be at a certain time, 5 days out, you got to remember that's where we think the center is going to be. The storm is 600 miles wide, so it's going to impact a lot more people. And that center is only in that forecast cone 2/3 of the time. So we're pretty good at our forecasts compared to where we were 50 years ago, but we still only get it right in that forecast cone 2/3 of the time.
I had no idea.
So we get it right more than 50% of the time, which is what people think we only do, and we still keep our jobs. But we have to remember that we're still talking about predicting the future 3 or 4 days out on a planet that is spinning around and rotating around a giant ball of fire, the sun, that's made up of 60% water. So it's not as easy as you think, and we're not as good as we hope to be. But that forecast cone graphic,
Yeah.
Man, people love that. That's all they want to see in the hurricane season.
So were you in Carolina for Matthew when Matthew
I was,
hit?
Sadly.
So
yeah.
What made that storm unique in how it hit us?
So that's the thing about hurricanes and our state. You know, there are so many ways to get into North Carolina when you're a tropical system. And there are so many strengths and speeds that tropical systems move. And Matthew was the worst. It, at one point, was a Category 5 in the Caribbean, if I remember right. They all kind of jumble
together,
up together.
Yeah.
But Matthew was a Cat 5 at one point. So Matthew had a lot of energy. It absorbed a lot of moisture from the ocean before it got here. And then it got here, and sure, it weakened, but it had all that moisture and energy. And then it slowed down. And that's the worst thing for North Carolina. Slow-moving storms produce a lot of rain, and that's exactly what Matthew did. Oddly enough, Matthew never made landfall in the state of North Carolina. The center of Hurricane Matthew never passed
really?
Over our state.
Huh.
But boy, did it do some damage.
Yeah.
You know, Hope Mills had 17 inches.
Yep.
Fayetteville had 15 inches of rain. And it didn't do a lot of wind damage, but, you know, it flooded the biggest interstate on the east coast of the
yep.
United States. I mean, yeah.
So Matthew's correct me if I'm wrong. Also, like a week before that, we had like 8 inches of rain. Like just mm-hmm. before that, the ground was saturated. It might have been eight
right.
inches, but the ground was
yeah.
already saturated.
Some of the worst hurricanes in our history happened because we had something else happen a week before.
Yep. Yeah.
Was Fran or Floyd had Dennis before, and that caused problems. And yeah, Matthew had a predecessor event is what
yeah.
we call them.
And we prepare, you know, in the fire service, when we know a storm is coming, we have our typical everyday staffing. You've got, you know, X amount of, we have 17 engines, 5 ladder trucks, da, 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 da. But when a storm's coming, we'll actually take some of our backup engines and we'll put them in service with additional people. We'll take boats and sporadically put them throughout the city, but also the Fayetteville Fire Department is part of the North Carolina Urban Search and Rescue Team, NC Task Force 9, and we get to go all over the country and help people during hurricanes. Well, we needed us. We needed our people here
right.
for that event. So we, you know, we were staffed up and ready to go, and then it was even worse than we thought it was going to be. And one of the coolest memories that I will ever have is all these USAR teams from across the country were getting ready to go to Florida and Georgia for this storm.
Because that's where Matthew hit
that's
first.
Where they,
yeah.
yeah. So they're sitting waiting, and then it hits us. And they couldn't get home because 95 was shut down. So next thing you know, there's FDNY firefighters rescuing people in downtown Fayetteville because they
wow.
were here.
Because they
came down from New York, New Jersey, Ohio, and they were prepped to go south, weren't needed,
right.
but they couldn't get home. So, hey, let's go help the people that need it. And obviously there's coordination in this. It's all coordinated by FEMA. But we had folks from New Jersey, FDNY, Ohio, all over the country that were staging to go help somebody else that conveniently couldn't get home, so here they were to help us. And it was such a cool experience to see that coordination and response. Mm-hmm. Right. I hate that it happened here. I hate that we, you know, saw the struggles we saw, but
yeah.
being part of that response was really cool.
It kind of reminds me of what the power companies do.
Yep.
They stage all these trucks up and down the zone of impact when a hurricane comes, and you guys are doing
the same thing
behind
yeah.
the scenes.
And you don't want to be staged where it's going to hit. So they're staging just
right.
outside
yep.
of where it
so
is.
So you can get in there.
Yeah, exactly. Get in there after the
do
fact.
Do you have a memory about Matthew? Or, let's open it up to Florence. I mean, Florence was a bad one. I mean, what
yeah.
do you remember?
So the thing about Matthew that was unique for me, I was still on the trucks at the time. That day, I just happened to be filling in at a fire station that wasn't that busy. We were sitting in that station listening to the rain. The power goes out, but we have emergency power, so we've got power. And everybody around us is running ragged. And we've run like 3 calls. And we actually called the battalion chief and said, hey, do you want us to come swap out with another unit so they can get some rest? And he straight up said, I don't know if you can get here. I don't know if you can get back. Everything's flooded. We're not, you know, once the winds hit a certain speed, even we can't leave the house, right? So we were still responding at that point, but he was like, do not leave your station because I don't know if you can get to the next one. So sit tight, respond to what you respond to. And for me, it was kind of a watching event. And then Florence hit. And when Florence hit, I was at a station where we were running calls.
Too busy.
And one of the things that really stood out to me during Florence is a lot of people aren't thinking of the once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-year storms when they're living their everyday lives. And we had a gentleman who was had some health complications and was in a hospital bed. And the family put him on the bottom floor of the home. So we had to go and get him out of the bottom floor of a home as it was flooding. And nobody thinks about that kind of thing when they're deciding, hey, this will be a comfortable area for him. It's got some privacy, not having to hear everybody all day long. But when it came down to that storm, next thing you know, we're having to float that person out of that basement area of a home. So that was it's again, that thinking. That's why I wanted to have you on the show, is that thinking of the possibilities and right. How you can keep yourself safe.
You know, that's something that has really become apparent to me over the years, is my job is to do the forecast and then to relay that information to everybody. It's science, it's meteorology. But there also is the problem that we have to deal with, the sociology problem of getting people to understand, like, hey, I know most times nothing bad happens, but this time something might happen, so be ready. So we have to get people to think to themselves, you know what? Something bad could happen to me. You know, whether that's getting in a car accident and making sure you have your seatbelt, or making sure you're prepared for severe weather, or, you know, there's a long list of bad things that could happen. Like, we need to think about those things every once in a while. Yeah. Most days not, but I'm going to tell you that, hey, something bad might happen, just make sure you're ready.
Yeah.
People, you know, with Chantal just a few weeks ago, most of the state didn't have anything bad. But there's a few people that got 12 inches of rain in a few hours, and they have to encounter flooded streets. And this is the moment that we try to prepare people for. Like, okay, you got a flooded street. Most of the state doesn't have anything bad going on, but you've got water running over this road. Let's just hang tight and not do anything silly right now. So it's not only a meteorology problem of figuring out the weather, but it's finding a good way to relay that information to people so they understand, like, hey, something bad might happen today. Let's be ready for it.
Yeah, you think about Hurricane Helene in the western part of the state. The Fayetteville Fire Department was one of the first outside resources to be in Asheville rescuing people with those guys. We spent 23 days, 40 different people spread out over rotating crews, 23 days in Asheville. Who would have thought that a hurricane would take out Asheville?
Right.
It's crazy.
Who would have thought a tropical system would have bigger impacts in the mountains than on the coast or even in central North Carolina?
Yeah.
That's why, you know, unfortunately, I have a lot of job security because of the wild weather in our state. I hate it and I love it. So many things.
We have a kind of a campaign we call Ready Fay, hashtag Ready Fay, you know, getting people out, just reminding them, you know, we use the phrase, the first 72 are on you. When Hurricane Matthew and Florence both hit, the city of Fayetteville was out of power for days. There were areas that emergency crews, more so in the county than in the city, but there were areas we couldn't get to. Hope Mills was an island. Mm-hmm. There was no bridge open
17
into
inches
the town
of
Hope Mills. So we want to remind people that first 72 hours you need to have your water, your emergency food, non-perishable foods, first aid kit, weather radio. Everyone relies on these cell phones that when those towers go down,
what are you going to do?
So does your phone, right? So that first 72 hours is really could be on you if we can't get to you.
Well,
so
when Matthew hit, talk about not being able to get somewhere. You know, it was a Saturday. We had a lot of rain up in Wake County, and I had to get to work, right? I got to do my job in the worst of the weather, just like you guys. So I go out my normal route to work, flooded, go to plan B, flooded, plan C was flooded. It wasn't until my fourth try of finding a road that was clear for me to get into work. So that's something that I got to deal with too, because I got to be at work just like you guys. Obviously, you have a much more important role, but Matthew was a crazy. And you know, remember Matthew was the day that Notre Dame was in Raleigh to play NC State. Big college football game. They played the game. There were like five people in the stands. Rivers of water running down, but the game had to be on TV, and it's big college football money. They played the football game during Hurricane Matthew.
I guess I was preoccupied. I didn't get to watch any sports.
You had more important things to do.
I missed that part.
But other people watched the game, I guess.
Man, wow. I didn't know that. So, like I said, we touched a little bit on the USAR program, and we rely on you guys, you say our job is more important, but we rely on y'all. So our planning folks, when it comes to deploying those resources, we have a team of firefighters that planning is their job. And they're sitting there watching all three news networks and watching the weather and all those things. What kind of working relationship? You guys said you use the National Hurricane Center.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And we're always looking at the National Weather Service in Raleigh.
Correct.
You guys have like a working relationship with all those,
yeah,
a constant communication.
Talk to the National Weather Service in Central North Carolina almost every day. We have an open line of communication because we rely on them. They're the official agency that issues a lot of our warnings, but they also rely on us to help get the message out. The National Hurricane Center, you know, they're ground zero for the hurricane season. They issue the official cone, and then we help interpret that and pass the message along. You know, every other day of the year, we're doing our forecast and just getting you through a hot summer day or a cold winter afternoon. But, you know, we have so many partners. There's so many things that we can't do by ourselves. We need eyes and ears on the ground from people like you guys here in Cumberland County, because they relay information. Because a lot of times, if it's just, you know, me telling somebody something is going to be bad, that's one thing. But when they see it or when they hear it, that kind of changes a mentality and,
yeah,
gets people in the mood to take action and keep, yeah, themselves safe.
You showed up today in the old weather beast. So what,
yeah,
is that just for storm chasing? What
it is. So like, that goes to my point. Like, it's one thing for us to tell you there's bad weather, but to show you, that puts people in a different mindset. So a few years back, we took a Chevy Tahoe and we gutted it and we put our best computers in there, cameras, temperature sensors, radar. We souped it up with a four-wheel drive, made it almost invincible, and we put our photographers and our meteorologists and our reporters in there. We train them how to do it safely, so we can go into the worst of the weather, whether it's in going to the coast during a hurricane. We were up there in the mountains in Helene with the weather beast, whether it's tornado chasing, whether it's finding snow the few times we get it in the winter.
All I can picture is Twister and Dorothy,
yeah,
the movie.
So
when they drive.
We don't, right. We haven't seen any cows flying around,
yeah,
but, you know, part of our job is to show people what's happening in our community, whether it's news of the day, whether it's sports, or whether it's bad weather. The weather beast that we use does a great job in helping us tell the story.
Yeah, and news anchors, not so much weather folks, but news anchors sometimes get a bad rap because they always want to have that. They want to have that visual.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've kind of realized over the years is we need to share our story with you. Otherwise, the public can make up any story.
Right.
The image, if they don't have the truth and that visual, you're going to start seeing rumors spread and you're going to start, mm-hmm, seeing people, I saw this and I saw that. Well, no, we were here. We were with the news, keeping them safe. And,
yeah,
and we're able to share that story and get that visual out that wakes people up,
mm-hmm,
and makes it can happen to me.
Yeah.
So it's very important to tell that story.
Storytelling is what my job is. You know, it's great if I get the forecast right most days. I'm not going to do it every day. I think everyone knows that. But if I can tell a good story about what's happening with the weather, if our reporters can tell a good story about what's happening with an individual around a bigger story, think of the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics have become so widely popular. Sure, because it's a sporting event. But before they run that race or swim those laps, you learn about this person and how they grew up and tragedy that happened, and you,
yeah,
learn about them. Like, okay, now I care about this. Now I care,
yeah,
about,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
Now I really want them to win. And we try to tell a story. So you remember the weather, or that you care about something bad that might happen. So you get yourself ready. We're all storytellers.
Yeah. So what? Just kind of wrapping things up here. Any other questions or thoughts that you have, or thoughts you want to share with the public when it comes to just keeping themselves safe and preparing for these events?
I want everyone to. I try to teach every day when I do the forecast. So when I'm done, you know, I only get 3 minutes every newscast to share my story about the forecast. I want to teach them something. I want to teach them what the weather's going to be. I want to teach them, like, hey, your weekend is going to be great. This is the weekend to go outside, have some fun, or get that project done outside. Or, you know what, coming up in 2 days, we've got some really bad weather. I want you to be ready. I want you to remember what Wes said about, hey, the storms in the afternoon might get a little ugly. So maybe I change my routine with picking up the kids from school, or maybe I'm ready for practice, or maybe we have a hurricane coming. So I'm going to stop by the grocery store and make sure I've got some stuff in case I lose power for a couple days. So I want to teach people, and I want them to remember the forecast. And I do that by being a good storyteller. And, you know, like we alluded to with some of the bad things that happen, I want everyone to remember, like, hey, you know what? Sometimes something bad might happen. You know, we put on our seatbelt every day when we drive a car. We change our smoke detector batteries every year because one day there might be a fire in my house in the middle of the night and I want to make sure it wakes me up. So I want everyone to remember that, you know what? Most days, nothing bad's going to happen to me, but there might be one time, and it might be weather-related, where something bad might happen. So I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. I want you to enjoy North Carolina weather most of the year. But every once in a while, I want you to be ready for, like, hey, you know what? Something bad might happen to me. I had it actually happened at my house, you know, talking about fire departments. And, you know, I'm so grateful for fire departments, because a few years ago, lightning struck our house. And thankfully, it was pouring down rain, because that lightning bolt hit the top of the house and it started to smolder, but the rain probably put it out. But within a couple minutes, I had about five different vehicles in front of my house ready to charge those lines and put the fire out and save our house. But it happened to us.
Yeah.
So, you know, the weather guy is not immune, and nobody's immune from something bad happening. And so let's just be ready for it.
Be ready for it. And then also just remember that the riskier situations that you put yourself in is also opening up our responders. That means we have to be out in it. So always keep in mind, you know, should I be driving? Turn around, don't drown. Should I be driving through this thing? The storm's on the way. Do I really need to go run this errand, do this right now? Because in the event of an incident, now we have to come and respond to that in bad weather, which ups that risk too. So we just ask people to think about that, not just yourself, but also your community and your neighbors
other people,
who are coming to help you.
Not a funny story, but a timely story. You know, we just had that huge earthquake in Russia that sent tsunami warnings all over the Pacific. And I stayed up all night watching the coverage, and they had video of people standing on the beach waiting for this tsunami to come. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, it's like people who surf during hurricanes. Like, you know what? America's great that we're allowed those freedoms, but I was just thinking, why would you go stand at the edge of the ocean when there might be a tsunami coming, and no one knows how big the wave is going to be or not be, but I just thought, you know, you're putting other people at risk because someone's going to have to come save you if there is a big wave and it hurts you.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should,
exactly.
Right? So, all right, man. Well, thank you so much for making the trip down here. It was great to meet you. Glad
Pleasure.
To have you. And thank you for joining us on the Fayetteville Fire Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville on all your favorite streaming platforms to listen to all of our podcasts. Join us again next month, but until then, stay safe, Fayetteville.